Good morning to each of you, and I also extend a welcome to the visitors here today. Glad to have you here. Trust that God would meet all of our needs if we've come to worship Him. You can open up your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 2 for the message. Paul is writing to Timothy here. Timothy was a bishop at Ephesus. And Paul had some words for him. Imagine Timothy receiving this letter and reading it and thinking about what Paul meant when he wrote what he did. In chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, in verse 1, Paul writes, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." We'll stop there. The letter keeps going. More verses should be read probably, but for the sake of time, we will pause there. The ESV, verses 3 and 4, reads like this. It says, "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." Do these words of Paul, like, do they convict you just a little bit of your comfortable and of your civilian lifestyle that you and I know? Are you a soldier? Am I a soldier? Have you ever imagined yourself, as you read stories of soldiers and of war, and you put yourself into a life of the combatant soldier, what that looks like, and the danger that they put themselves into, and their willingness to give their life? In the mix of extreme danger, they've been trained. They've given up many comforts. They have been taught discipline and courage and boldness to press on. Even in the midst of extreme difficulties, they keep going. Well, there's a war that's raging today. It's an unseen conflict. But it's just as real as a physical conflict. And I'm suggesting to us this morning that it's even more grave than what a physical conflict is, because this is a matter concerning my soul and where it's going to spend eternity. And if anything should matter most to us, it should be this very thing. And I wonder if I am a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Do I know what that means? Do I know what that looks like in Kirkwood in 2025? What does that look like, a good soldier for Jesus Christ? Do I know how to fight? Do I know how to conduct myself in spiritual warfare? Have I been trained? Have I gone through boot camp to withstand the hardships and the difficulties of a conflict that we can't see with our eyes, but we feel with our minds? Well, sometimes it's helpful for us to look at a real life character to help us to discover what it looks like to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. And I would like to do that. I'd like to take you back to 2 Samuel this morning and briefly look at a character that is probably often overlooked in this story, because we focus on King David and his actions and of his sin and of his scheming and of just his treacherousness as he allows himself, chooses to fulfill his passions and his desires. But there's a soldier in this story that stands out very, very much. I was listening to a message that Matt Weaver preached at Leola on secret sin, and he used David's sin with Bathsheba to lift that out. But in that story, I just sort of got a glimpse of Uriah, and what a character he is and he was. And I would like to use him this morning to help us understand what it would be like, what it's like to live as a good soldier for Jesus today. We know the story well. David looked across the street. Bathsheba was there. He sent for her. He committed sin with her. And he was working to cover up what he had just did. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 6. We're going to just break right into that story. And David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to thy house, and wash thy feet." Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, "Uriah went not down to his house," David said to Uriah, "Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thine house?" Uriah said unto David, "The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." And David said to Uriah, "Tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart." So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, "Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die." And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that the valiant men were. And the men of that city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war, and charged the messenger, saying, "When thou hast made an end of telling the matters of the war unto the king, and if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, 'Wherefore approached ye so nigh unto the city when ye did fight? Knew ye not that they would shoot from the wall?' Who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaasheth? Did not a woman cast a piece of millstone upon him from the wall, that he died from Thebes? Why went ye nigh the wall? Then say thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. So the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent him for. And the messenger said unto David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out unto us into the field, and we were upon them even unto the entering of the gate. And the shooters shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead. And thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. And we'll stop reading there. Uriah's wife heard that her husband had been killed, and she mourned, and David sent and fetched her, and she became his wife. Uriah's single-mindedness in this story is just really, really stands out. It's really sharp. It's a tragic story. But I think as fathers this morning and as Christians, all of us, we need to drink from this spirit that this soldier had to learn what it's like to be a soldier for Jesus. I'd like to consider briefly six marks of this soldier who was killed for refusing to play a civilian and entangling himself with the affairs of this life. He paid the ultimate price. The first mark of this soldier is found in verse 7. Uriah came unto David, and David asked of him how Joab did, how the people did, and how the war prospered. And the first mark is the soldier's speech. Your speech this morning and my speech will portray whether or not I'm entangled with the affairs of this life. What is my pet subject? What do I like to talk about the most? What is your center of gravity? What do you tend to gravitate to when you speak, when you talk? We all have a conversational center that we sort of lean to, that we like discussing. What do we enjoy talking about? Is it the latest news, the politics, church gossip, the weather, the crops, other churches, other families? What is it that you and I like to talk about? David knows who he's talking to. He's talking to a soldier, and he knows the soldier has no interest in the weather. He has no interest in what's happening with the crops and with farming, and no, he doesn't have interest in that. David asked him three questions that he knew this man would have interest in. And this is what the man wanted to talk about, was how is your army commander doing? How Joab is doing? How are the people doing? How are you making out? Your speech will show where your heart is this morning. Uriah's heart was not into small talk. There were men that were dying. The enemy was scheming. The arrows were flying. They were out in the open field. That's what his mind was thinking about. That's what he was concerned about. He didn't have time for the latest entertainments and amusements. And so, as men of God this morning, what is my heart's topic of conversation? When people think of me, when they think of you, what do they think of? What do you enjoy? What do they know you enjoy talking about and discussing? Is it things that are important? Is that where conversations tend to lean towards? Relationships, Jesus, the Word of God, what we've just learned in Scripture, a good book we just read, the importance of our soul, things that really matter. Is that where we tend to lean into, things we tend to talk about the most? Well, as a soldier this morning, our speech will determine what kind of soldier we are. If we are entangled with the affairs of this life, or if we are committed to the cause of Christ and to his kingdom. number two. Second mark of the soldier is his silence. The soldier's silence. We see that in verses 8 and 9. David told him to go down to his house, grab a shower, prop your feet up. David sends a large mess of meat along behind him, perhaps from the best food, good meat, good steak, best wine, chocolate-covered strawberries. I don't know, just something like to get this man into the mood, like to relax, right? What did this man do? Did he try to impress David with his commitment to the cause? Did he try to argue with David that wasn't a wise thing for him to do? He doesn't say a word, does he? Turns around, departs out of the door. As soon as he thinks the king can't see him, he lays down with his servants. And there he lays. Here is David, the highest of rank in Israel, and he was telling a soldier, take off your armor, take it easy. No words were needed for this soldier to convey his commitment to the cause. No words were needed. His actions are screaming loudly to us what his commitment was, where his heart was, his strength, his character. He didn't need words to back him up on this one. It's his actions. His silence spoke very loudly. What do my silent actions, what do they speak of? What do your silent actions speak of when you're by yourself? When you're in the store, when no one you think is looking at you, what do my actions say about who I am? Uriah, his actions, his silence, and his actions spoke very loudly as to who he was. Number three, he was a soldier of speculation. We see that in verse 10. Servants got talking about him. Like, what is up with this man? Like, what's wrong with him? Went to David and said, hey, look, Uriah, he didn't go down to his house. He stayed here all night, slept with us. This man was the talk of the servants. They couldn't figure him out. This man is different. Why is this man different for? Why is this man doing this? Well, a true soldier, a soldier of Jesus Christ, in his single-minded eye and focus, his commitment to denying himself will show whether or not he is a true soldier, whether or not he is a man of war. Even David, I think, was puzzled by this man. I think David was frustrated with him. Like, why doesn't this man go home to his house? Why doesn't he fall for my trap? I've set everything up for him perfectly. What man wouldn't do this? What man wouldn't do this? I mean, David, he couldn't resist that trip across the street for this man's wife. And he's baffled why this man would come all the way home from the battlefield and refuse to go home to his wife. He wouldn't do it. Well, do others talk about you? Do others speculate about me? What man is that? Loves his wife, talks really highly of her. That's unusual. He seems to be just fine with five children. That's an awful lot of children to have to take care of. He seems happy about that. Why doesn't he cuss? Why doesn't he swear? Why does he tell me to that music? He doesn't like that loud music playing. What's up with this man? Something different about him. Or Or am I so entangled as I live my life, work with people that they see no difference, they have no idea that I'm a soldier for Jesus? Never would cross their minds. You're a soldier for Jesus? Never would have guessed it. What are people thinking when they see you, when they relate to you, when they talk to you, and they see what you do, how you live? Does it speak that you're a soldier of the Most High? Number four is found in verse 11, the soldier's self-denial. Uriah tells David why he's not going to go home. He says, look, God, Israel, and Judah, all my brothers and my Lord, they're out in the open fields and camped in the fields. I'm not going to go home. Why won't he go home? Why won't he do the things that were lawful for him to do? They weren't wrong for him to do that. Why wouldn't he go home? Why wouldn't he do it? Because of his commitment to the cause of his God and to Israel. He was a true soldier. His commitment to the call of duty, his commitment to denying himself of things that even were lawful for him to do, he chose not to do them because of his commitment to a higher cause. Why should his brothers be out in the fields blocking the arrows and the spears and the stones while he's at home eating steak and enjoying his wife? Tells David, he says, as you live, and as thy soul liveth, I am not going to go home. And David even lets him there for another day, and he brings him in and makes him eat and he gets him drunk. But this soldier was committed, even when his mind wasn't maybe fully thinking properly. He still chose the king's doorstep. He didn't go home. He still remained true to the cause. What a man this Uriah is. What a commitment to the duty that called him. When was the last time that I laid down my own pursuits, my own agenda, my own things that were lawful for me to even do because I wanted to assist my wife? I wanted to help my children. I have brothers and sisters here in this church that could use my assistance in some way. Will I forgo some things that are lawful for me because I'm committed to a cause that's much bigger than me, much higher than me, because I'm a soldier of the Most High? Do I know what it's like to be a man of self-denial? Because I'm sympathetic towards others that are also in the cause. Because I'm ambitious for being useful, being a useful soldier for Jesus, not for myself. Well, this man's self-denial can teach us a lot, can teach me a lot. Number five is the soldier's faithfulness. That's found in verses 14 and 15. David wrote a letter to Joab, and he sent it by the hand of Uriah. These verses just sort of make me sick as I was reading and studying this. How could this be? A man that scripture says is after the heart of a man after God's own heart, but here he is scheming some of the most wicked and treacherous things that are ever done on the face of the earth. How bold is this? To write a letter and then send it by the man you're wanting to get killed. The This is an example of a man of honor, a very honorable man who clung, he's clinging to his resolve. At pressure that I don't know that you and I have felt, but he wouldn't back down on this. David writes his assassination letter and sends it by the hand of Uriah. Could you and I be trusted this morning to carry a letter or a death warrant back to the battlefield? Because whoever sent us with it knows that, yes, that man is of utmost integrity and of honor. He knows we won't open that letter. We won't try to look into it. We obey command. Take this letter to Joab. And Uriah obeyed. And he went. Do you think Uriah wondered what was in that letter? I'm sure he did. But he didn't look. He could be trusted. He was a faithful soldier. So faithful that David didn't have any qualms of being found out of the sick thinking that he had. Well, Uriah's faithfulness to command, his faithfulness, his obedience, I think stands out as very noteworthy and as a very bright light for us, even in 2025. Soldiers today can struggle with authority. How many of you have I struggled with authority? I have. Did this man struggle with authority? Those over him? Doesn't seem like he did. He took the order and he obeyed. Faithful soldiers obey commands. Would-be soldiers only want suggestions. Faithful soldiers aim to please the one who enlisted them. Unfaithful soldiers like to please themselves and their own interests and their own flesh. So this morning, am I willing to acknowledge the men that are over me, men that have authority over me, that can speak into my life? Am I willing to submit to that? That is the call of a soldier this morning, to obey commands faithfully. Have I learned to follow commands? Can I be trusted even to carry my own death warrant? Because I've been so faithful obeying those who are over me. Mark number 6 is the soldier's scars. See that in verses 16 and 17. Joab also corrupted himself with this whole thing. Joab knew what was going on. He knew this was wrong, but he played into it. He knew better, but he pressed his servants in. He looked at that city, knew where the hot spots were, sent Uriah in there with other men. And Uriah went, charged forward as a faithful soldier would. He had a job to do, and he went forward faithfully until the end. And faithful soldiers today will bear marks of active duty. Uriah, his mark landed him in the grave. He never made it back to his front door. Never made it home to his wife again. He fully knew the danger of his mission. He knew it was risky. He knew it was dangerous. He was willing to bear the scars, whatever that would look like for him. He didn't know. But he didn't care, because he was committed to obeying. Well, he chose suffering. And choosing suffering this morning separates soldiers from civilians. Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Uriah was a loyal soldier of a scheming, wicked king. He could have been at home with his wife on his chair, taking it easy. But instead, he died with the arrow through his heart. He paid the ultimate price of a faithful soldier. He died on the field. Praise God this morning that your army commander, who hopefully is Jesus, he knows nothing of such treachery and wickedness. And I guess the question that I ask myself is, do I hope to offer to the Lord at the end of my life a civilian life that cost me little to nothing? Or am I willing to do anything the Lord calls me to? Anything that my commander calls me to do, and he's calling me to do things this morning that I have not done always very well, and I will probably continue to struggle to do, but those calls come to me to love my wife. Am I going to be willing to love my wife as Christ loved the church? Will I do that as a faithful soldier for Jesus Christ? Some days it's just as simple as putting to death your lust and your desires because you're committed to a cause. And you're ready to be serious with this because you're a soldier. And you decide to decisively, because of who you are, you're not going to do that thing. I'm not going to do it. I won't do it. And maybe you even won't do some things that are even lawful for you to do, because of things that are pressing in on you that are more important, that need to take your time and your efforts. Will you bear the marks this morning of a faithful soldier, one in active duty? Uriah stands this morning as a really good character for us to pattern my life after. Well, Uriah, he died fighting under God, fighting with God's people. Paul chose to suffer as a soldier for God, to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Why? Because he knew that the mission of God is not going to fail. It's going to carry through. He calls Timothy to be that good soldier. He calls you, and he calls me to also be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because, he says, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 through 10. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. This morning, Jesus Christ, as the army commander, he isn't scheming. He isn't plotting how he can put you to death for his own pleasure, to cover his own self. In fact, your army commander this morning, he has decided the war, the outcome of this war, of this battle for us. Because he has chosen to come. He's chosen to suffer for us. He's chosen to die for us. And he rose for us. Why? So that he can save us. Jesus this morning, he does not steal his bride by another man's blood. He purchased her with his own blood. That's who your commander is this morning. This is a faithful commander. This is not a commander that will tell you to take off your armor and to take it easy, change your course. But he calls you on to greater faithfulness, greater responsibility, greater efforts for his kingdom. Do you see the glorious end of a faithful soldier who's faithful to Christ Jesus? It is eternal glory. May the end of faithful fighting, may that spur you on this morning to not give up, to press on as a soldier for Jesus Christ because of the end. You're not fighting a losing battle. It's not a lost cause. There's much to be gained. And so, as soldiers of Jesus this morning, you're never the loser, but you're always the gainer. Well, may this example of Uriah, may it speak into our hearts today as we go from here and live life this next week. May we be found to be known as a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Let's kneel for prayer.